is January 6, 2021, and it appears that the adversary has overthrown the United States of America. It appears. And so this teaching was brought to me before I knew of all these things that actually were actually happening today. George Mueller's not the teaching tonight, but kind of going out. I was hoping to kind of prepare a room for our heart, not just going through the scriptures. The guy, he was the real deal. And he changed so many generations of lawyers and judges and doctors and people that would have been discarded on the street. It wasn't his choice either. He didn't want to go to England. It wasn't necessarily his desire, but Yahweh was working. And he had a desire going, of course Yahweh will meet all my needs. People say that. I was thinking this morning, why does he always ask me to do something I don't want to do? I don't know the answer to that. Sometimes we don't want to ask. Here I am. I'll get to that in a little bit. I have a pretty good idea. Maybe it's because I don't know. But here's what I do know. Whenever we're on the border, is to confront ourselves to say, whatever he has is better than anything I could ever imagine. George Mueller, as this guy was starting off, he starts teaching the word. He's not going to teach what they want to hear. And then all of a sudden, he gets separated. He starts reading the word. Here's a minister that didn't read the word. People don't read the word today. They'll read anything but the word. Commentaries, this and this and that. It was the same problem back then. And that's why people weren't successful in their lives. Now, they could be successful in their own mind. King Saul was successful as he was going crazy. Did King Saul have money?
Yeah.
Did he have a house?
Mm-hmm.
How about Solomon with his foreign wives? Was he successful to Satan? Absolutely. Where's his reward? Your life does not belong to you. And Yahweh is looking at each one of us going, you're wasting my life. What is your purpose of your life? Are you fulfilling it each day? And here was George Mueller. He's going to people just replace it with the word. Replace all your free time. And then a guy who never read through the word before, he started reading 4 times a year. How many sitcoms are you watching? How much time is on Facebook? How many other novels are you reading? How much time? Oh, I'll do anything for you. Except obey. But anyways, the neat thing with this, even the teaching, this is the very beginning of like a man who did mighty works, and we're reading about these mighty works. I can't wait to see what his real works were, the spiritual one, and the rewards that he's going to get. He made it, and so can we if we let go of things and start going, quit being as, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, and comparing ourselves with ourselves and going, no, what do you want me to do? But before you do a teaching, he goes, don't do a teaching unless you go talk to your boss. What does he want to talk about? And they talk about waiting and waiting and waiting. He goes, how can you, a waiter, and I was using his waiter, the Hebrew word is not necessarily this term. But a waiter waits on somebody, what do you want? I'm here again, checking in to see what they want. He's talking about that's what he would do with Yahweh. What do you need? How many times a day are you checking in? Not with your problems.
Yeah.
Hey, I got another complaint. We got some time to know about, hey, how can I help you? What would you like? And how do you do that? Well, each one of us, he's got a plan to say, separate the garbage, all the stuff that's coming in here, replace it, and worry for nothing. And George, and then this teaching tonight, you guys, do you know how much information did I've been, you guys, you don't know, but for like the last 4 days, I asked Yahweh, I said, please, rock my world, here's this word, this word. I've been compiling stacks of paper, I was so excited about my teaching today. And I got ready to do the teaching today, it was like, just push all that to the side. No, I can't push it to the side because I want to talk about something different. This is the first thing in the morning. I hadn't plugged in today. I didn't know what was going on today. He goes, I want to talk about something different. Okay. But you know what? All this is like, is it going to be worth it? Yes. Can you imagine King David going to kill Goliath? Are you really going to do this? Well, what a way to go out, right? You give yourself a pep talk and go, what if everybody leaves you? Yeah, if they leave you, but if Yahweh's there, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? I turn to Isaiah chapter 11. About the author.
Yeah.
Not about your circumstance. Not about your situation. Not about how long you've been waiting for your desire or your need or I've been so faithful and I haven't got what I want. No, not about you. Toby Keith. I want to talk about me. Yeah. He's a creator of the universe. What has he given us? He's given us everlasting life. His son hung on a cross. You don't want to know about him? Well, I guess so. And so this is, let's just talk about the author. And as we learn about the author, we will have more reverence about what the author wrote about you and about me. And with all of us, we're never done. He's never done with us. All of us is grow up. Mm-hmm. You got more in the tank. I'm doing pretty good. You have no idea how far along the Apostle Paul was, or this guy was, or that guy was. He goes, quit comparing yourself. Compare yourself with my son. Oh, man, I got a lot of work. That's the idea. Because you got one life. And this whole life is preparing you for the next life. And you'll be rewarded. And when you do your job, you're actually helping other people do their job. Me taking care of my rebellious son who doesn't want Yahweh's word anymore, how do I take care of him? I feed his sheep. I do his teaching. That's how you take care of your kids. That's how you take care of your bills. What's he asking you to do? Isaiah chapter 11, verse 15. So I saw Melania turn because that's a sensitive subject. All of us have to go, it's not a sensitive subject. Because that's exactly what the adversary wants. Because if he can get one of your family members, he's got the whole family.
Yeah.
So, no, my family is those who do my father's will. You can attack my family, it's not getting me the adversary. Because if the adversary thinks all I got to do is get Caden, and look what it's done to Melania. That's when you go, oh no, oh no, I'm going to burn even brighter for Yahweh. Because who is my family? All of us. And then if it's a father or me or anybody else, you say, no, you're not my family. Yahweh's my family. 15 verse, let's see here. Chapter 11, 15. Okay, this was new to me. We're in Isaiah, the cameraman's favorite book. And Yahweh will devote to destruction the gulf of the Egyptian sea. Little footnote here. Do you know how you say this word Egyptian here? Well, David is David. Moshe is Moses, right? Mitzrayim. Sounds a lot like Egyptian, doesn't it? Mitzrayim. Like, what is this? Okay. Anyways, this is talking about when the sheriff comes back into town. And that is Strong's number H4714. Mitzrayim. That's for Egyptian. See, I don't know if that's all Egyptian. It could be different words.
What verse you meant to?
Chapter 15. And Yahweh will devote to destruction the gulf of the Egyptian sea and will brandish it. There?
11:15.
11:15.
I was
11:15.
Sorry.
You're
all
right. Don't want you to miss it.
I got to show the
accents. 11:15? Page 659?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
No, it's right there.
It's right here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, you ready to read? And Yahweh will devote to destruction the gulf of the Egyptian sea. What? The gulf? Look at footnote A.
Tongue.
What's it say?
Tongue.
The gulf is the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And will brandish his hand against the river, the Euphrates, and the full force of his footnote, Ruah. And will smite it. What's he talking about smiting?
The tongue.
Water. 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 And will smite it in the seven streams and cause a marching through in sandals. So shall there be a highway for the remnant of his people who shall be left out of Assyria, like as it was to Yisrael in the day that he came up out of the land. When Yahweh shows up, the water moves. Excuse me. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. I've heard my dad say this word a couple of times. I don't think he's thinking it. Move. Move is like, move. When Yahweh comes to town, move. Yeah. Well, I watched the Princess Bride, and here's the giant. And he's got his cloak, and he's got this cloak, and it's on fire, and these people in front of the gate, And he's automated giant. He's 7'5" or some 500 pounds. And in the part of the movie, he says, "Move!" And guess what the guy did? When Yahweh says move, what do these waters do?
They
get the heck out of the way. So this is the author. I got to keep going.
Okay, go ahead. I just have to call that.
Psalm 77. Not excuse me. So I was reading, I go, that's what my dad says. My dad goes, move, move. So 569. Now this is a good one. This one gave me goosebumps. Reading about the author when his kids, and this is, that's going to be, I believe, as far as I know, that's going to be after the resurrection in the 1,000-year kingdom. Something's going to happen. Because it's going to be like with Egypt. Psalm 77, verse 16. Now this is going to be talking about the Red Sea. So what we just read was like another occurrence of the Red Sea is what it appears. This is going to be the Red Sea being divided. The waters saw thee, O Elohim. What saw him?
The waters.
And how many times did Yahweh write this? Every word in there is for a reason. The waters saw thee, O Elohim. The waters saw thee. How many times?
Twice.
They were in birth throes. What was in birth throes?
The waters.
What's that word? The good old Rothering. I mean, he'll put words there, so you go, I got to take a look at this. Strong's number 23, verse 42. Strong's number H2342. This word, this is a theological word book of the Old Testament, is to twist or whirl or dance or writhe in pain. Mm. You ever seen an animal hit by a car?
Yeah.
Couple. You ever seen that? An animal dying, we go hunting, got to put it to sleep. That is this word here, H23. So the birth throes. So the waters are watching Elohim. The waters see, saw thee, and then what happens to the waters? Yea, the resounding deeps were stirred. The clouds poured down waters. The skies uttered a voice. Yea, thine arrows flew hither and thither. The voice of thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings illuminated the world. The earth trembled and quaked. In the sea was thy way, and the path in the mighty waters, and thy footprints could not be known. Thou didst lead like a flock thy people by the hand of Moses. When Yahweh says move, there's a time that Yahweh is very polite. Moses, take off your shoes. But in Exodus 14, it says, Moses, move the water. Move it. And there's times that Yahweh is going to be really angry. And the author is going to say, move. But what's neat about this, when Yahweh, I had down here, is that Yahweh's going, the water's going, holy moly, the boss is coming. What does that mean? I don't know. But Yahweh wrote this. The boss is coming, the water started trembling. Bird pain's going, he's coming. Yahweh says, move. You know what that reminded me of? Luke chapter 4, verse 30. I put a footnote there. I remember it. I can imagine my brother Israel and his kids. Maybe one of the kids is mouthing off. They think they're all home alone. Blah, 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 blah. And dad's at home and everybody else knows he's home. Except for the one mouthing off. Blah, 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 blah. And everybody's like, that's the Democrat Party. That's Islam. Gonna go, maybe you do know what you're doing, but you're looking and going, good luck. Good luck with that one. Verse 28. Luke 4, verse 28. Okay? You there? I'll highlight your Bible next time so you know it.
I'm just kidding.
And all were filled with wrath in a synagogue, and as they heard these things, and rising up, they thrust him forth outside the city and led him as far as the brow of the hill on which their city was built, so that they might throw down headlong. They're going to kill Jesus, Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, for being obedient. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. I used to think he slipped through, sliding through. And then when I'm reading about what his father did to the Red Sea, you ever seen a protester try to stop a truck?
Yes.
There's righteous anger, and I bet you Jesus Christ just walked right through them, and they're just maybe stepping on them, whatever. You're going to go, and it was just a whole other way. He turns and goes, move, move. And you're going to go, okay. Turn to Psalm 106. Dad, would you read 8 through 10, please?
Yet he saved them for the sake of his name, to make known his mighty power. So he rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up, and he led them through deeps as pasture land, and saved them from the hand of one full of hatred, and redeemed them out of the hand of the foe.
Yeah. So the waters covered their adversaries, not one of them among them was left. They believed, therefore, you know, and they sing praises. Hand of one full of hatred. Does that remind you of the Democrat Party right now? How evil them and Iran and China. And here they are. Are you doing your job in Christ? I am. Mm-hmm. I know you are. We're with him. We're with that guy.
Yeah.
The rest of you, the hand of one full of, here's this hatred. You are Trump hat over the rest of this stuff. People hating Donald Trump. It's not Donald Trump. No, I'm gonna digress for just a second. Skip to verse 17 about this author. When he says move, it moves. It splits. The water quakes and trembles in like birth pain, freaking out. And in verse 17, what does it say there? The earth opened and engulfed Dathan, and covered up the assembly of Abiram. Then was kindled a fire in their assembly, a flame consuming the lawless ones. This is the author of the book. Swallowed them, burned them, and here this is. And guess what? We're with him. We're with that guy. Are you doing your job? Yeah. Are you being obedient? Yeah. All right. Now we're going to turn to the book of... It's not Job. I just learned how to say this.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been Job too. Turn to Job 38.
What page is
that? Job is right before Psalms.
25.
Yeah.
Bad. I don't ever read.
Job is a Hebrew word. Yeah, the poetry in Job is incredible. You want to read about the stars? You want to read about incredible things. So as far as we know, the book of Job is one big parable. Okay.
This chapter?
38. And Job is Eyov. 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 Eyov.
Can you spell it?
No, I cannot. I pronounce it phonetically. If I spelled it, it wouldn't. That was Hebrew. But now, here's a chapter about the author of the book. And what we're going to do is we're just going to read one chapter about him and who is he. And so the context of this is a righteous man named Yahweh is going to respond to him. You know, if our heart's right, you know, some of the biggest breakthroughs in my life is when I respectfully vented to Yahweh. I'm sick and tired. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I don't understand it. And if my heart was right, and then I waited, guess who showed up? Come on. Get up. And he fixes it. But he's waiting for us, you know? It's like a relationship. What do you want to talk about? Let me talk about it. And so then here is the author is going to respond to Job. Why? What's happening in Job? Don't necessarily know. What's happening in your life? Are you overwhelmed? Are you surrounded? Is the end of the world near? Is it hopeless? You want to quit? Are we exhausting? I don't know. Verse 1. Then Yahweh responded to Yahov out of the storm and said, who is it that darkened counsel by words or without knowledge? Mom, I think you might do a better job of reading this. Almost, most of these things are questions. Would you? Or should I read it?
What? Verse 3?
Well, I'm going to read the whole chapter.
Oh.
I can read it. I just get a little carried away. Verse 3. Gird, I pray thee, like a strong man, thy loins, that I may ask thee and inform thou me. Pull up your pants. Tell me. Who does this? And Yahweh's going to talk to Job. He's going to talk to you and talk to me. Are you stressed out? Are you worried? You know, we could be angering our Creator. Be anxious for nothing. Verse 4. Where wast thou when I founded the earth? Tell if thou knowest understanding. Who set the measurements thereof if thou knowest? Or who stretched out over it a line? It's not like the earth. Wherefore, whereon were the pedestals therefore sunk? The pedestals for the earth. Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of Elohim shouted for joy. So I put a footnote here to say this is Genesis 1:1. You need to put a footnote. You want to know what happened on Genesis 1:1? Yahweh tells us in Job 38. This is like a whole movie you could do right here. He talks about it. He puts a pedestal, and what is all the sons of Elohim? What's the son of Elohim? It's going to be the angels. What do? The morning stars sang together, and the sons of Elohim shouted for joy. Who shut in the double doors, the sea? What's the double doors? Footnote 8, the banks. Oh, man, it's double doors. When bursting out of the womb it came forth, the sea came out of a womb. There were double doors that opened the womb, and the sea came forth. When I put a cloud as a garment thereof, and a thick cloud as a swaddling band thereof, I break off for it a boundary and fixed a bar and double doors. There's double doors again. They're like French doors. And said, here too shalt thou come and no further. And here shalt thou set a limit to the majesty of thy waves? Question mark. Since thy days began, hast thou commanded the morning? Have you ever commanded the morning? Have you? I haven't. Or cause the dawn to know its place, that it might lay hold of the wings of the earth, and the lawless be shaken out of it. Out of it? Question mark. It transformeth itself like a clay of a seal, so that the things stand forth like one arrayed. Their light may be withdrawn from the lawless, and the lofty arm be shriveled.
Shivered.
Okay, excuse me. Hast thou entered as far as the springs of the sea? You've been to the bottom of the sea before, Joe? Nope. Haven't been down there either. Or through the secret recesses of the resounding deep, hast thou wandered? Have you ever been to the bottom of the ocean, Isaiah? No. Nope, me neither. Guess who has? Yeah. The one that's telling you to fear not. Mm. Be anxious for nothing. Let me see, where did I stop?
17.
Thank you. Have the gates of death been disclosed to thee? And the gates of the death shade couldst thou descry? Hast thou well considered even the breadths of the earth? Do you know how long the earth is? Tell if thou knowest all. Here's Yahweh going into a monologue. Isn't that great? Where then is the way the light shall abide? So where's the light? Where does light abide? And the darkness, where then is its place? Think about Yahweh in like a workshop. Darkness goes here, light goes over here. That thou mayest conduct it into the bound thereof. Thou mayest perceive the paths in thy house. Thou knowest then, hast thou been born? And in number, thy days are many. Hast thou entered into the treasuries of snow? The treasuries of hail couldst thou see? Can you see where all the hail comes from? Or the snow? I'm thinking of the polar caps. Maybe. It's to our knowing. I love this next part. What is the treasuries of snow and hail for? Which I have reserved for a time of distress for the day of conflict of war. Footnote, Joshua 10:11. Joshua 10:11, when Yehoshua said, "Son, be still," and moon over Eshelon, guess he joined in throwing rocks. Yahweh, he's got a whole drawer full of these things. This is where he keeps them. Then, where then is the way of lightning is parted? The east wind spreadeth itself abroad over the earth. Who hath cloven the torrent a channel, or a way for lightning of thunders, to give rain over the no man's land? Think about him. I was thinking about him watering the Sahara or the Kalahari or whatever deserts here he is planting and watering. I think about Tim taking care of his property. You know, he's taking care of stuff. And here's Yahweh. The desert where no son of earth is. I didn't know no man's land was in there. Verse 27. Why? To satisfy the wild and the wilderness. To cause a spring forth the meadow of the young grass. Who's in charge of watering all the plants? Dad was brought up, he says, Strooms pointed out that man cannot survive without grass or trees. Because without grass, we don't have livestock. And who plants the grass? Yahweh does. And all these trees, Yahweh does. And here's Yahweh's watering all this. Verse 20, hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came forth the ice? Man, that's a cold woman. And the hoarfrost of the heavens, who hath given it birth? Like a stone of the waters congealed, and the face of the roaring deep becometh firm. Can thou bind the fetters of Pleiades? Ooh, these are the constellations that we discussed. Pleiades is seven sisters. It's a group of seven stars right behind what we call Taurus. Or the bands of Orion. That's also called the cluster. See, Orion's belt has got a name. It's Cassil. And Pleiades is Kimah. Kimah is specifically Pleiades. Cassil is specifically, or it's Orion, or all, any big constellation. But you guys, can you envision? Okay, I got to see, I take a picture of Orion, Cassil, last night. So he's talking about it. So what? What's he going to say about it? Can thou bring forth the sign of the zodiac, each in its season? Or the bear and her young? So that's another constellation. Canst thou lead? It's right off the Big Dipper. Knowest thou the statutes of heaven? Let me see here. I missed something. Oh, in verse 31. Canst thou bind the fetters of Pleiades or the bands of Orion or loosen? What's keeping all those constellations in place? He's holding things in place. He's talking about bands holding these things together. Invisible things holding stuff. He talked about a pedestal. All right. There's no pedestal. We've been to the moon. We've seen this earth. We don't see any pedestals. And he's like, are you kidding me? These guys, how much unbelief do you have? If I said there's pedestals, must be invisible. But he said there's bands holding the constellations. Now who's holding the constellations? Is it you? Is it the Democrats? Nope. It's their enemy. Verse 33, knowest thou the statutes of heaven? Or didst thou appoint his dominion over the earth? Canst thou lift up to the thick cloud thy voice, and the overflow of waters cover thee? Think about this. I never thought of it before I read this. Canst thou send forth lightning? Can you? I don't know. Because if we can speak the storms the way Jesus Christ is, then I don't know. But here's Yahweh sending lightning. And it could have been that this would have been, let fire come down and consume you in your 50th. I never thought about it before, but maybe we can. Maybe that is Mark 11:23. Somebody's coming to get you. Lightning, strike that charging bull or whatever, you know, elephant. So that canst thou send forth the lightning so that they go and say to thee, behold us. Who hath put into cloud form wisdom? Or who hath given to the
meteor.
Is that an unusual word? Meteor? Footnote. This word is used one time in Yahweh's word. And if you would read in almost other translations, they're going to translate this special word that's used one time into heart. It's not heart. It's a Shave or Shavi. It's used just once. and it's a celestial appearance or phenomenon. Good old Rothrian put a word there so we knew it was a code. And they go, here it is. It's not a heart. A celestial thing. Can thou count the thin clouds in wisdom? And the bottles of heavens can thou empty out? All these thunderstorms. When the dust is cast into a clod and the lumps are bound together, wilt thou hunt for the lioness prey? You guys got to feed your dog, right? Is that a lot of work? Well, there's a lot of lions that need to be fed. You want to feed them?
I'll toss him something.
I can't handle that. No, you can't handle it. But Yahweh's saying, I can handle it. You do your job, I'll do my job. You fear not. And Yahweh do it. You have peace. And rejoice again. And then Yahweh will do his job. Let's see here. Wilt thou hunt for the lioness prey, or the craving of the strong lion wilt thou satisfy? I'm just thinking about taking care of a zoo. When they settle down in dens, abide in a covert for lying in wait, who prepare for the ravens his nourishment? When his young ones unto El cry out, they wander a lack of food, and he keeps going. Well, we're going to stop there. That's the author who's telling you to be anxious for nothing. Who's telling you to prophesy, to obey, to do whatever he's telling you to do. Go back and look at him and take some time to go lay in your backyard, and look at the stars and just go, do you know anything about the stars? I didn't until I believe he told me to do a teaching. Now I'm going through, I got to start learning some of this. Why? It's his work. Do you have trophies at your house? Does it bless you if people ask you about your trophies? You know how much energy he's doing with these stars? You go out there and look at this stuff. And we set ourselves aside. We turn to Philippians 4:4. But that's the end of the author. Now, what's he telling you and I to do? And I didn't know what was going to happen today. I had no idea. In fact, Yahweh told me, don't go onto Facebook and don't talk to anybody. Okay. Actually, somebody could probably recite this. Does anybody know it all? 4:4-7? Okay.
Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again I say rejoice. Let thou...
Considerateness?
Considerous be known unto all men, for Yahweh is near. For nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known unto Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh which rises above every mind shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Yahushua.
So how do we get 4:7? That's great. Excellent. And I got to give Dad a prophecy at the office, and Yahweh was communicating about him. There's a line, like you can show here, like show the floor. Here's peace. That's a stepping in the world, but we don't abide there. We got to be engaged. We have to do our job. It says rebuke, encourage, exhort, correct people, fight the good fight of faith, but we don't live there.
Yeah.
We're engaged. We stay over here. And as soon as I started getting shaky or with myself, my heart rate starts going up, or if I have a tendency to not want to stop talking, I have to finish this, I know that I am now on the other side. And I'm engaged. So that was me personally. Turn to, now this is going to be us. Psalms 1. So how do we do it? He didn't say it's easy. But it's a lot harder if you forget who the author is and who you belong to. You know, people would go to war with David and go, as long as we're David, we'll go. We'll be fine. As long as we got David, well, we got somebody better than David.
Yeah.
And we don't have to go to David. Yahweh rebuked me. You know, I'm reading these things and I was having legal problems, a bunch of... All of us have injustices that happen to us. You know one thing that will probably encourage more injustices? If the God of this age and this world knows that it really affects you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow! That really got him! Tim was in the military. I've never been in the military, but I know when I played football, if you had a nickname that you didn't want anybody to know, that you didn't like, you made sure they said it. You didn't say anything about it. If they make fun of your mom, you don't say anything about it, because, well, oh, that really affected it. It encouraged them. Psalm 1:1. It's a really short one. And I'm memorizing this. Dad asked us to memorize a scripture for Father's Day. Oh, God. How happy the man who have not... I was going to recite it. How happy the man not walked in the counsel of the lawless, in the way of the sinners not stood, in the seat of the scoffer not sat. But in the law of Yahweh is his delight, and in his law he doth talk to himself day and night. So doth he become like a tree planted by streams. I'm trying to read it, not read it. I'll recite. How happy the man hath not walked in the counsel of the lawless, in the way of the sinner hath not stood, in the seat of the scoffer hath not sat, but in the law of Yahweh is the delight. And in his law he doth speak to himself day and night. So doth he become like a tree planted by streams of water. Not so the lawless, but his chaff which is driven about by the wind. For this cause Yahweh shall... Well, what's the next part? I ran out.
Five.
For this cause shall the laws not stand, the judgment of sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For Yahweh doth acknowledge the way of the righteous, but the way of the law shall vanish. Are you guys righteous?
Mm-hmm.
I'm righteous.
I have the righteousness.
We're with him. The rest of these things, we can step back. And now that we got our peace back, guess what he's got? He's got communion. He's got communication. How important is it to have communion? When the whole world's going nuts, and nobody's picking up their phone. Would somebody pick up their phone? You don't understand how bad it is. And they forgot about my resume. You forgot about my son's resume, because we got a pretty good resume. Why? Well, you don't understand how bad it is. The Philistines are attacking. We are the leaders. We are teleos. We separate ourselves, not because we want to be separated from other people, but because we want to become more Christ-like. We have to overflow peace, confidence, and faith. And what does that do to our adversaries when we don't wave? Holy cow! You see people running around stuff like that. It's like a shark probably smelling blood. But that is our author, and I put a footnote. Genesis 1:1. Go right over here and just read some of Job. You're gonna go, man. You do a whole movie on Genesis 1:1. You want to know what happened? Job got something really cool. I think after one of these times Yahweh comes into Job, the dad said this, and he goes, Job covers his mouth. I can't say anything. What am I going to say to that? Well, what are you going to say? And then, what's important with all of this, Colossians 3:15. Does anybody know that one? Memorized? Go ahead.
Okay, and let the peace of Christ act as umpire in your heart, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful.
Be thankful.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude, raising psalm with your heart unto Yahweh. 16.
Amen. Excellent. So how's your peace? You're going to go, man. So even today, and I don't necessarily know all the stuff that happened today, but as I was preparing the teachings and stuff, I have things to do, and he goes, don't. No, I got some things to do, don't. And then I got a little glimpse, and guess what happened to my peace?
Yeah.
I got infected with unbelief. Because it, with me today, because your job is to give faith in me. And so he goes, you got to stay separate. And that's all of us. And when we have that peace, we go, I don't make any decisions out of fear. I'm not a punk. You're going to try to scare me into making a mistake? No, that doesn't happen that way. No. I'm going to go get peaceful. I'm going to go check in with the boss and your landlord. What's up? Oh, yeah. I better sing you a song or something. I better take my mind off. I'll sing him a song. We're going to talk about your trees. We're going to talk about your dirt. We're going to talk about anything else. And then he goes, okay, what's the problem? The Philistines are attacking again. He goes, oh, come up here. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we know the end of the book. We thank you that your son and you have done so, you've been so patient with us. Thank you for encouraging us and taking the time to speak to us. I was reading about David Livingston, and my heart broke because his life wasn't in his children's life. But you are in our life every day that we seek you and we open our ear. I thank you for helping us open our ear to hear from you, that we settle down and we check in with you more. Because we know that victory is inevitable when we have the creator of the universe on our side. And he's on our side because he gave his son. And we choose to obey and be like that tree planted by living water. We will blossom because you don't lie. Do not be fearful of anything. but let your roots, and shoot your roots down deep, become immovable in my word and who I am. Do not focus on the circumstance and the situation, but disengage and focus on the solution to every problem. That's me. Understand this. The bigger the problem there is, the bigger the victory your God and your Savior get. Egypt and the gods of Egypt were huge, and Yahweh bragged about them for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. He shook them off into the sea, so will he shake these. Amen.
Amen.